When I was a kid, we went and visited some relatives in Wisconsin, and they had a huge basement in their house. And so we were spending the night. They told us, just this basement can be almost like your own apartment. And it was wonderful for my family and I. We were down there, and except the basement didn't have a restroom. And so it was the middle of the night, and of course I wake up and had to use the facilities. I stand up, and it's pitch black in this basement. Can't see the hand in front of my eyes. It is so dark. And I could not remember how to get to the stairway in order to get upstairs. So there I am, wandering around in the darkness, trying to find even a wall with a light switch on it to try and get some light on. Just wandering in the darkness. Wandering. Well, this morning, in our gospel reading from John chapter 8, the gal in our reading probably felt like she was in the darkness. She had really no hope. There was darkness, gloom all around her life as she was caught in the very act of adultery. And notice they didn't bring the guy in. There were such double standards back then. They brought the woman in before Jesus, before the religious leaders, before the Pharisees in the temple courts there. They brought her as she was caught in the act, and the Moses law was that she was going to be stoned. Her life looked like it was going to be over. She really had no hope. Darkness, gloom all around this poor lady. Glad we're not like her, right? Glad we're not like her in the fact that, you know, we've never done anything that would deserve stoning to death. You know, we've never committed adultery or some bad other sin like that. I mean, after all, we're pretty good church people, aren't we? We come to church and worship our Lord, and we go home and we try and live a good life. We try and, treat others the way that we want to be treated. We try and take good care of our family. We try and do what's right. You know, we're not perfect, but we try our hardest to live a good life. And as a Christian, we know the fact that, as hard as we try, we know we're not, going to earn our salvation by the things that we do. But boy, we're not as bad as this lady who was caught an adulterer. I mean, she could be one of those kind of gals, you know what I mean? But yet the New Testament says that if you've ever looked at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. Ouch. If you've ever hated a brother, you've murdered him. Stings, doesn't it? James chapter 2 says that if you've broken one iota, one little dot of the law, you are guilty of breaking the whole law. So you see, we are guilty, we are sinners, we are in the same camp as this poor woman who was sitting without hope. Hopelessness, darkness, and gloom was in her life. And we too are sinners. We too have fallen short of the glory of God. But we know that living a good life doesn't give us everlasting life, right? I mean, we're Lutherans. We know that. We emphasize the fact that we're saved by grace through faith. But yet a recent study came out that showed over 50% of Lutherans, over 50% stated that they can go to heaven by living a good life. Startling, isn't it? Over half, over 50% said that if you live a good life, you can go to heaven. For us, a denomination that emphasizes the fact that we're saved by the grace of God, and yet over half say you can go to heaven by living a good life. Folks, if you believe that, if you think that you can go to heaven by living a good life, I hate to say, but you're sitting in spiritual darkness. That is not the truth. You see, we need the grace of God. We're saved through our faith in our Savior and what He has done for us. So how can we get out of this spiritual darkness? How can this lady have some hope? How can those who are trying to live a good life, who are living in spiritual darkness, how can they get out from that spiritual darkness? How can you and I, how have we come out of the darkness? Well, let's take a look at what Jesus does and does in this in our gospel reading for this morning. We have Jesus in the temple courts. He's there with the Pharisees and the religious leaders teaching the folks, and they bring this woman caught in adultery. And then the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are going to try and trap Jesus. So no matter what answer he gives to their question, they're going to say, that's wrong. You're in trouble, Jesus. So they bring this woman to her and say, well, okay, Jesus, the law of Moses says that she should be stoned. What do you say, Jesus? What do you say? And Jesus, if he answers her with the, well, yeah, go ahead and stone her. How compassionate, how loving does that make Jesus look? And in fact, too, the Romans were the only ones who could carry out with a death sentence. And so he would be going against the Roman law if he says, go ahead and stone her. But if he says to her, to the people, no, let her go, well, then they could come back to her and say, to him and say, hey, the law of Moses says she's supposed to be stoned. So you're saying go against the law of Moses. So Jesus is in this corundrum. If he answers one way, they're going to do this. And if he answers this way, they're going to do that. And so what's he do? He sort of avoids the question, if you will, and he stoops down and he writes something in the dirt. Have you ever thought about what he wrote in the dirt as he stooped down there? Well, many scholars, biblical commentaries, believe that he was writing down some of the sins of those folks who were accusing this woman. Now, remember, Jesus is, yes, 100% divine, 100% human. So he is omniscient. He knows all things. So he certainly would have known the sins of those accusers who were there accusing this woman. In fact, the later manuscripts of this text actually say that Jesus was doing that. And one interesting fact, too, is that in the Greek language, there are two words that we translate in English as to write down. The common word is grapheme, which means that you just write down. But here in the text, Jesus uses another word, katagrapheme. And katagrapheme means that, yes, to write down, but write down with a record against. And so there's certainly indication that, yeah, maybe Jesus is writing down those sins of her accusers. Jesus then goes on to say, whoever is without sin can throw the first stone. Well, also, with that word that's translated as whoever is without sin can throw the first stone, there is an indication, there is a meaning behind the Greek word too that says whoever does not even want to sin. And so really what Jesus is saying is that whoever has not sinned or even has ever wanted to sin, go ahead and throw the first stone at this lady. What happens? They leave. They depart, starting with the oldest. I would assume they have their heads down and they quietly depart in shame. Jesus then speaks to this woman and says, where are they? Where are those who are to condemn you? Is there nobody left? And the woman says, no, sir, nobody. Nobody is left to condemn. And then Jesus speaks to her with some of the greatest words of love, some of the greatest compassion and mercy and grace that mankind has ever known. Jesus speaks to this woman in her great time of despair, in her great time of hopelessness, where all seem to be lost. Jesus speaks to her and says, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. As I was wandering through the basement, trying to find the stairway, I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't get out from the darkness. And the same is true for this lady and for you and I. We can't get out of the darkness on our own. But that's the loving God that we have, one who acts first. Jesus takes the initiative with his grace and his mercy, and he brings it to this woman and says, "Neither do I condemn you." And perhaps this morning, you're feeling some darkness. Perhaps this morning, you're feeling some shame, some guilt that you've committed some horrendous sin, and you feel like you can't be forgiven. You feel like there's no way that God can even forgive me for this. Jesus comes to you and says, "I do not condemn you. I was condemned for you," Jesus says. "I took it to the cross. I paid the price for this sin, for all sin, whether it was adultery or whether it was lying, whether it was cheating, whether it was whatever it was that we have done. Jesus says, I don't condemn you. I've taken it to the cross for you." Yes, there will be accusations from the dark side. Satan will accuse you. Satan will hurl all kinds of insults your way with little phrases that pop into your mind like, "Oh, you know what? That sin that I did, though, is really horrendous. The sin I did is terrible." Satan will say, "God doesn't forgive you for that terrible sin." Satan will whisper into your ear that, "You know what, that spouse, she's never going to forgive me for what I have done. My kids or my grandkids will never respect me for the terrible thing that I have done." And Satan will whisper those things into our ear, but we want to hear and we know that we have the light, the voice of the Savior, the light of the world, overshines that darkness. And we hear the voice of the Savior, the light of the world that says, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I have come to squelch all darkness, all shame, all sin, all things that we've done wrong have been paid for by our light of the world, by Jesus himself." Well, then Jesus goes on to say a final words to her. Jesus says, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Now, in reading that for years and years, I thought, okay, here's what Jesus is saying. I forgive you. I'm not going to condemn you, woman, for what you have done. But now stop it. Leave that life of sin. Just end it. Go on. Sin no more. Now, he is saying that, and part of repentance, of course, is wanting to change, wanting to make that change in our life. But Jesus is saying more to this woman. He is saying, you don't have to live in the darkness any longer. As we look at the next verse, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever is in me shall never walk in darkness again." Woman, the sin, the shame, the guilt that you have because of that sin has been overcome by the light of the world. By me, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You don't have to live with that shame, that guilt, that darkness any longer, because darkness cannot penetrate the light. Light overcomes all darkness. There is no darkness where there is light. And when Jesus comes to this woman and says, "Neither do I condemn you," he is saying not just that I am the light of the world, but he's coming to this lady individually as Jesus comes to you and to me individually and says, "I am the light of your world. I am your light." You don't have to live in the darkness. You don't have to live in the shame and the guilt that the accuser throws at you. Light overcomes darkness. I am your personal Lord and Savior. Yes, I am the light of the world, but I am the light that lives inside of your heart, inside of my heart, inside of each of our hearts as children of God. Well, to end the story, I made it upstairs and got to the restroom. A light came on upstairs. I'm like, oh, thankfully. And so I could see the stairway and get up and get upstairs and felt a lot better. Not only the fact that got to the restroom, but the fact that I was out of the darkness, out of that dark gloominess that you know that the darkness is like. Folks, as God's children, as those who live in the light of Christ, we don't have to walk in the darkness any longer. It's been squelched by the light of the world. And it feels good. It feels wonderful to be children of the light. I'm sure you agree. You feel great to be walking in the light of Jesus, knowing that our sins have been all gone, forgiven by our Savior. We live in the light of Christ. Amen. Please rise as we pray together. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for that light of the world, for our Savior Jesus, Lord, that we no longer have to walk in the darkness, that we can throw that guilt and that sin and that shame away, and that we live in your light as children of yours. Lord, we thank you for that forgiveness that we have in our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.